Hey, it's Mass. Since 1928, Rodenizer Home Services has been your trusted local experts for all your plumbing needs. From bathroom and kitchen fixtures to leaking pipes and water heaters, Rodenizer offers you the higher standards of professionalism. When you have questions, Rodenizer has answers, all backed by their 100% customer satisfaction guarantee. Their motto is simple: nice people, great service. So experience the difference today with Rodenizer Home Services. Visit Rodenizer.com to schedule today.
B-Pod Studios.
Talking about the game is no game.
You are listening, you are enjoying the talk.
Toucher and Rich.
That's wordplay, my friends.
98.5 The Sports Hub.
Child, things are gonna get easier. Ooh, child, things will get brighter. Ooh, child, things are gonna get easier. Ooh, child, things will get brighter.
Oh, Paul, baby.
You know it's not a good song? This one.
Oh, I love. Oh, I love this song.
Blue Child sucks.
Now listen to this guy.
Didn't need to be remade.
I love this song.
Really?
Oh. I think this song is one of the great songs of all time.
Oh, this song is always kind of... I don't want to say it annoyed me, but it definitely has a negative effect. It's not even like it's just there. It's like it's so... Ooh, child. Like the way it's spelled, too.
I think this is truly one of the great songs in pop culture.
Really? Oh, I have to disagree. Yeah. There's so many better songs from this era.
Well, there's a lot of great. I mean, there's been millions and millions of songs. I truly believe this is one of the great songs. I just wanted to play Paul, though, saying this is Paul Stanley from Kiss.
It just sounds like a song that would be on the Brady Bunch.
So?
But, I mean, it's an actual song. He sings it well, regardless of what you think. This isn't like, who's the guy from Love Actually?
I'm just saying, it's not like the throwaway. A, it's not a good song. B is a song that never needed to be covered.
Ooh, child, yeah.
I feel like I'm at, like, a bad wedding. Like, it's like the wedding band, like, would play Ooh, Child.
Oh, Paul. Paul's having the time of his life.
Oh, I'm not, once again, as long as Paul's happy,
Paul's voice
I'm happy.
Is He's, outstanding.
I wish something for Paul Stanley's happiness.
Paul Stanley, very well known for his voice. Phil, go ahead.
Hey, guys, how are you?
Hello.
You guys inspired me to watch that video, and I got to tell you, it's a beautiful thing. I don't, these people on Twitter are just... It's just,
I mean,
Paul, Twitter is a forum of douchebaggery. That's what it really is. People can't wait to be mean.
I'll tell you, it was just like Paul's in his 70s and he's trying his best and he likes the song and he put together a band and he's just having fun.
You know what this is? This is Heinsohn when he used to paint. Remember, you would see the videos.
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
like a guy who is accomplished in his gig and goes, I'm going to do something just for me.
Right.
And Paul Stanley there, like, all right, cool.
Because it's different than if you like tell your friends about it or someone. Like, why would you go right to him and go, like, this sucks? Like, that's not, like, so mean. Like, for some reason, that struck me. And I am someone who obviously is not afraid to throw jabs at people. But that just struck me as really mean because he was so earnestly into it. The guy's worth $150 million, by the way, or more. The guy's made a tremendous amount of money over his life. And he just wanted to do this. And people, like, saw it, right? Because I saw it, like, my friend texted me, like, right when it came out. He's a musician and I don't know if he knows someone in the band or whatever. And I saw it and, like... It was like when I saw it, there was only like two tweets under it. And then I was like, I'm going to come back in an hour. And I came back in an hour. And it's like people saw it and like they just wanted to get on and tell him it sucked. And it's just for some reason that to me was like, what are you getting out of this? Like, you, does it, it makes you feel to make, makes you feel good to make you feel bad?
Well, that like, is why
like, why
it's
do you want to make him feel bad?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
What does that do for you? That doesn't help you in any way. So, I mean, listen, the guy was trying. All right. Adult Swim was trying. When we first came on the air back then in 2006, I particularly was a huge fan of Aqua Teen Hunger Force, and Rich and
Mary
I...
Mary worked for Adult Swim so, yeah. at the time, so yeah. we definitely were aware of yeah. Aqua Teen.
And Rich and I got to be on a show called Assy McGee, and they're still around, those guys. I still mean to take my daughter there. She wants to do voice work when she's older. And, you know, it turned out that there was an animation company that was right around here, and we were involved with them, and we would have the guys. We had What's-His-Face from Aqua Teen Hunger Force on, and one of the creators of it. And Rich made the mistake of, remember when you said, well, Aqua Teen's great. It's not like these other, like, crappy shows, like the 2 Ounce Mounts or whatever the show was. And the guy goes, that's my show, too.
Well, make it better then.
Yeah, exactly. It just was one of those.
It's not a good show.
Yeah, it was one of those moments where we're like, "Ooh, okay." And he's like, "Yeah, that's my show." And I didn't know it was a show either. And so anyway, so we knew about it. Whatever. So back in November of 2006,
January
2007. What happened is Aqua Teen Hunger, or do you have news clips you want to set this up with?
I mean, this kind of goes into this. So, you know, we were on the air, and at the time we were doing 2 to 6, and this story was breaking that the Boston police had said that there was a bomb scare underneath these bridges, and there's these light up devices that are being found all around town, and they showed it on television, and it was the Moon Knight guy. One of the characters looks like a little 8-bit alien. And he's flipping his middle finger. And like the minute I see it, I just start laughing. I'm like, hang on, did they just say they think those are bombs? I'm like, that's an ad for the new Aqua Teen movie that comes out in like 2 months.
Well,
like, that's
it
an
didn't,
ad. Like,
it, no, we go, that's the Moon Knights. And then through a brief discussion, we went, oh, that's right. There's an Aqua Teen Hunger Force movie coming out.
Yeah, so this is
obviously
promotion.
We didn't know the promotion was going on.
Yeah.
So we just, because so for all we knew at first, maybe they were bombs that were Moon Knights. But then we go, oh, no, there's a movie coming out. And then we started taking phone calls and people started saying,
they're all over town. Like there's one on the wall here. And then
their street team basically that was putting them up started calling and saying, yeah, we're putting these up to promote the movie.
So we had this info, like we knew it was Aqua Teen. We had our listeners telling us, yeah, it's part of a street team thing that's going on. We had people on the street team calling us. So Fred and I start getting on the phone. This is while we're on the air, and call like every news station in town. Like we even called the mayor's office. Like we called everybody. We called the police department. We're like, guys, that's not bombs. We're being told, and we, you know, by people who put these up there, that this is part of the street team deal. And we did that for the entirety of the show, yet nobody, like people are hanging up on us and saying, and nobody was taking our news.
No one would listen to us. No one. We were sitting there going, guys, you're freaking out over nothing.
Dude, freaking out is an understatement. Like the city was like, the roads were all shut down. Everyone was like not taking any kind of chances. And like we had told, and it wasn't until after we got off the air, which was hours, that there was a report that a intern who worked for like the police or the mayor's office recognized it around like 7 p.m. And then they're like, oh, well, maybe this is it. I'm like, damn it. We've been saying it on the air. We've been saying it over and over again. But what I forgot about what happened afterwards is they still arrested. They knew that these guys were on the street team. Menino was so pissed.
And so embarrassed. Instead of just chuckling and going, my bad, you got me. Like, all right, let's all move and go about our business. He turned it into, well, this is like one of those things where he was like, well, I'm digging my heels in, and no, this wasn't funny at all. And the thing is that the plan wasn't to make them look like bombs. The plan was just to go, people go, what's up with the light bright? Which was being run with what? Like a D battery? One D battery?
Even if that was the case, where you're taking extreme caution, once you find out
that those were
not bombs, you don't arrest these guys
and
try to spin it into that they were trying to fool people into thinking they were bombs.
No, because they were not.
They called it a bomb hoax. They called it a bomb hoax.
Which it was not.
For something to be a hoax, it has to mean there was an intention of you trying to manipulate people to think that these were bombs.
Right.
So I completely forgot what happened afterwards. So they arrested these two street three team guys. One dude's like Captain Dreadlocks. The other guy's like whatever, like, you know, guy who, you know, late 20s, and he's probably our age. And so they ended up like arresting these guys, keeping them overnight. And the next morning they came out to do a press conference. And do you remember how that went?
Yes, yes.
Okay, so we have the audio here.
Two guys that knew they weren't getting in any trouble.
Here they come. You have it, Fred.
Oh, I have it. Oh, yeah. My bad.
You have it right there.
Well, box isn't open. So,
I do not have it under any circumstances. Uh-oh. No one has opened my Vox Pro this
morning. Nick, you didn't put it in? You told me you texted me. You said
Nick,
you did.
Nick just popped up. Here he comes.
No, Nick.
No, Nick's charging into the studio.
I have a text saying that you did.
Yeah, well, also he kept the mic on the, but that was okay.
He's here.
All right. He's doing it. He's looking for it. He's in the middle of looking for it. He's found it.
Oh, there it is.
Okay, now here it is. All right, okay, here are the fantastic gentlemen.
Thank you, Nick.
Allison Sharon in the control room. I hate to interrupt. Let's get to Boston, where the one of the defendants in this cartoon hoax is now talking to reporters.
What we really want to talk about today, yeah, it's kind of important to some people. It's haircuts in the 70s.
Yeah,
we really want to discuss the style of them.
We feel it's really important because we think it's been a big inspiration on how people live their lives today and how they're going to live their lives in the future and how they're going to look at the past.
You had all day and all night in a cell together to come up with something funny.
This is what you came up with. But see, to me, it's not even them that's entertaining. It's the way that the reporters are incredulous them coming out in mock. I mean,
but they don't even say bomb hoax. They say cartoon hoax.
Oh, no. Bomb hoax later.
I know. But just the idea that there's something called a cartoon hoax. Again, they were light brights advertising a movie. I don't know how any way, shape, or form you would go, that's a bomb. But they did. Or you could have ripped one off the wall and taken a gander at it, I guess. But...
Well, hold on a second. For example, Afro, I think, comes kind of from the 70s. But then again, there's other styles, like the greased up hair, when they actually use grease. And I'm not totally sure where that comes from. Whether or not it's from the 20s or from the... It's definitely not from the 60s, I don't think.
Well, the 60s sort of... We're taking this very seriously.
Yeah, please don't interrupt.
The 60s sort of had the mod hairstyle, which I believe... evolved into the sort of greased back look of the 70s. But Peter, what you're saying is maybe came more from the 20s?
Yeah, I really think it came from the 20s.
It sounds to us like you aren't taking this seriously.
Do you guys have any haircut questions for us?
What do you think about what happened yesterday?
Are you going to get one?
That's a very good question.
Thank you.
I think my dreadlocks are pretty nice, and they're going to keep growing for a little while.
Michael,
and maybe they'll reach my knees or something. I don't know.
I'm getting sort of more due to getting a haircut because getting my bangs now.
I've advised them not to talk about what happened.
How do you feel right now?
Okay. I got stuff. Why are you rolling them out? Like, that's the lawyer stepping in. I advise them not to talk about the situation. Why are you having a press conference?
Well, they're not his slave. I mean, the guys wanted to talk. Again, they had all day and all night to come up with something funny. And then it just was not... I mean, they could have come up with anything, and it would have been funnier than what they came up with.
How can you not take this serious? Oh, you want to know what's serious? Being arrested and put in jail overnight for something that you know we didn't do. Like, something you know was not anything having to do with the bomb, yet we had to spend a night in jail and spend a ton of money.
Yeah, the lawyer had pretty much told them that they weren't getting in any trouble at this point, and so they were free to... You don't hear a lot about these guys. You know, you would think that maybe if they were funnier, they would have come out with some TV show or something. But they're stuck on this haircut thing.
They still seem like they have more wits about them than the two guys who stole the banner.
Because there is a show called Perfect Hair Forever that was on Aqua Teen, or that was on Adult Swim, and I thought they might have been getting to that, but they were not.
I feel like my hair is pretty perfect, but altogether, I want to redirect this onto the topic of haircuts in the 70s, because I want to educate myself about it a little bit more than I know already.
We saw them laughing in court. We've seen their appearance now. Prosecutors are taking this seriously. Are they not taking it seriously?
That's Steve Cooper, Johnny on the spot. Another notch in Steve Cooper's belt. to him win the Tebow thing. Congratulations to Steve Cooper. They're not taking this seriously. Prosecutors. I'm sure if he had dinner with one of the prosecutors, they were all over it. I'm sure they were very happy to be thrown that case their way. The case of the century, the two hippies with the Aqua Teen things.
Can you just step to the microphone, please?
Steve Cooper's had it with the kids. He wants the lawyer to step to the microphone. They're joshing around too much for Steve Cooper.
It was the best.
Yeah, Steve Cooper.
They're getting so pissed.
Yeah, Steve Cooper still wants this to be a story. No, Steve, you'll be standing in snow soon enough. Don't worry, it's going to snow again, and you can stand by the salt truck and go, look at how salt is on the truck.
They've taken the case very seriously. As I said, they've been advised not to speak about the case.
Have they been advised to act like they're not taking this seriously?
By the way, if that happened today, no one would have gotten arrested. It was too close to 9/11.
Yeah.
As the thing, is that everyone was still freaked out.
5 years afterwards?
Six years. Sure. If that happens now... Because now we've had like viruses and everything else.
Sure.
Now I don't think it. I don't think.
Well, that somebody tweeted that over the weekend. Do you remember when something like this seemed to be a big deal?
Oh yeah. Unfortunately, this would not have been a big deal anymore. But there you go.
Well, hang on, just let the end of it play because the news reporter comes in and tries to cut them off.
Taking this very seriously.
These guys
are not taking it seriously.
Yeah, I really feel like we're not getting the feedback.
We're not getting the feedback that we need from you guys. If you really want to talk to us, please talk to us about the topic.
I'm very disappointed.
Yeah.
As you've been listening into this, I don't even know if I should call it a press conference exactly, and what's happening in Boston. The two men who were arrested and pled not guilty this morning with regards to this scenario that happened in Boston. They came to the microphones, and as reporters been peppering them with questions about what happened yesterday, they took it as an opportunity to continue their theater and discuss 70s haircuts. There was a panic in the town, and they continued to discuss afros as well as their dreadlocks.
I just love there was a panic in the town. By the way, Adult Swim had to pay $2 million to the town of the city of Boston.
Well, they got way more than $2 million worth of advertising. That movie probably didn't make $2 million.
No, but it didn't. I saw it on opening night, and I think I was one of the only people in the theater.
Yeah, I saw it too. It was all right. They got their money's worth. I'd pay $2 million if I was them for that. That's a big company. All right, there you go. But we were on the air, and no one listened to us. No one would listen to us, and we said it over and over again, live on the radio. What are you doing?
And Ronnie Dangerfields of radio.
And I think that they knew full well pretty soon after they had panicked that it wasn't anything and that they just had to go through the exercise to save face. And those guys wouldn't play along. And Steve Cooper's like, there's a cat in the tree in Billerica, and you're keeping me from it. I've heard we have on the wire that there's a fire truck headed down to Everett to... a woman has fallen down the stairs. Yeah.
Certain things that will never die. Fred's hatred for Steve Cooper is one of them.
Well, he's not even the guy who came to my house. I don't even remember who came to my house.
He was.
No, he's the guy who camped out in front of the station that morning to see when I was going to get fired for the thing that no one could figure out why I was in trouble for. Talk about something that no one could figure it out. I had corporate like, well, this is apparently a big deal, but I can't figure out why I would punish you. And I'm like, I don't know. And they're like, yeah, well, sit tight, I guess. We're not going to suspend you or anything. And I'm like, okay, well, this is unpleasant. I don't like this. I don't like people sitting around waiting for me to be fired. But that's not a good feeling. All right, we'll be back. Fluta Shinzawa as the... Bruins played the Capitals. He had a good article out about why maybe their defense is improved without him. We'll talk to him about that in just a moment.
Hey, it's Mass. Since 1928, Rodenizer Home Services has been your trusted local experts for all your plumbing needs. From bathroom and kitchen fixtures to leaking pipes and water heaters, Rodenizer offers you the higher standards of professionalism. When you have questions, Rodenizer has answers, all backed by their 100% customer satisfaction guarantee. Their motto is simple: nice people, great service. So experience the difference today with Rodenizer Home Services. Visit Rodenizer.com to schedule today.
Playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every game. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. That's $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. What are you waiting for? Visit FanDuel.com/Fred and make your first bet an automatic win. FanDuel, America's number one sports book.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued is non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
Want to make a good morning even better?
Oh!
Now, you can listen to Toucher and Rich on the radio.com app.
You are locked in to the show.
It's Toucher and Rich.
This song is forever going to be the... Lauren and Wally up all night watching hockey jingle.
Just think of that bear just dancing on repeat. That's what they had in their music video. They made a music video for it, too.
Yeah, the corner of, now that we're in the building, we get to see the infamous corner of the station where everything is filmed. What happened to these guys?
Daft Punk? They're still around. They've been around for, oh my God, what, 90s? Early 90s?
I want pictures of them without their masks on.
Well, they're out there.
I want to see what's doing with them.
Not
faces.
So secret anymore.
Fluter Shinzawa, you can see him eating the Rask sandwich, I believe is what he said. It was a turkey-based submarine grinder.
He's a big fan
hoagie.
Of the food. Big fan of the food.
He is.
When he's able to travel with the team, or at least he has, he would always... A lot of restaurant reviews.
Right.
I would do that. I'd be like, every town I went to, I'd be like, where's the best place in town to get... I would try to search those out. We did that. We went to Minneapolis, remember?
Yeah.
Yes.
I would. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah. We had the... fish, whatever the hell fish they are.
Walleye,
like.
And then we found the place, the Juicy Lucy, the burger with the cheese shoved in the middle.
Was that you who burned his wrist with
it,
one
it
of those things?
It shot out of the burger and into my eye.
Oh, that's right.
And it sucked.
That's right.
Like, that was not fun for me.
Much like Detroit that has National and American Coney Island that share a wall, there are the two Juicy Lucy places in Minneapolis are right across the street from one another. They both take credit for inventing the Juicy Lucy. I believe. Fluto Shinzawa is a senior writer for The Athletic. He joins us on the Volkswagen Dealers Expert Hotline. Mr. Shinzawa, thank you for joining us, sir.
Good morning, guys. You're making me hungry.
Yes, indeed. I see it. It does make me hungry, and especially today when I will have no access to food once it starts snowing. But, Fluto, you had a good article in The Athletic about the absence of Chara as the team faced the Capitals last night or two nights ago and gets to face him again tonight. Just how the defense can change with his absence, for better or for worse. But can you kind of tell our audience exactly what the theory is and how Chara not being there kind of helps this theory along?
If you look specifically at the Bruins system, what Bruce Cassidy and Kevin Dean, who's in charge of the defense, have introduced is they've given the green light. Say that you're at 5-on-5, both Ds. Before, if one would go in the corner after a puck, you would have, say, Zdeno stay in front of the net and occupy that net front area. This year, it's different. Both Ds now have the green light to go below the goal line and really choke off the play. Say if an opponent has the puck in the corner, both guys... Go right ahead and choke that off. And then the center will come down and occupy that net front area. And sometimes the center will even engage in a puck battle down low. So you might have three guys going after the puck. So the theory is that they want to outnumber the puck, and they want to get possession, and then they want to get going the other way. The bottom line being that they think they have six guys at once, whoever's in the lineup on defense, who are mobile enough and smart enough and quick enough to get over there, get back, recover, basically just that fast twitch muscle action that they have. Now, is this Zdeno's strength? No. What are his strengths? Just about everything else, occupying the net front, being strong, being long with the stick in the reach, punishing players in front of the net. But would that system have played to his strengths? Probably not. So you look at the numbers. Statistically, the Bruins are absolutely lights out in terms of five-on-five defense. Their penalty kill has been good, too. They just don't give up any kind of room in the defensive zone. Their neutral zone defense has been good, too. Their five-man defense has been really, really good. So it's not... You can't say, oh, just because Dana left, this is why it's happening. But there's been a strategy in place. Okay, this is the way they want to play with Zdeno in Washington. So far, it's working out great for both sides. Zdeno gets the win. They're 6-0-3. He's playing 20-plus minutes a night. Everything's worked out so far.
And interesting enough, this wasn't Krug's strength either, apparently, this style of defense. And now, is it just these guys were coached a certain way? Coming up, and it's hard to break out of those habits. I know with Zdeno, it's just he's very slow now. But is that a factor in it? It was hard to get these guys to adapt to a new style?
Yes, that's part of it. Yes, like Torrey, he grew up and he had played in no other system. So this is the way he's been trained to play with Brandon Carlo the last couple of years. Now, could he have adapted? Yeah. He could have gotten over. He could have done that kind of thinking and fast process movement. But yes, there's been a long history in terms of wanting to play that way. So it's I think if you look at the younger guys, they have quicker feet. Let's face it.
So the Bruins. Maybe smarter than everyone gave them credit for. I didn't think losing Chara was a big deal at all. I think he should have retired. But listen, he's getting paid something to play hockey. So who more credit to him. But this interesting. So do you think the Bruins knew this and knew they wanted to do this and knew that there was a chance that they'd actually be better defensively with this subtraction? I know they. In an ideal world, would have kept Torrey Krug, but they knew that they believed this was going to work.
No, for sure, of course, yeah. Of course. They've been thinking this way. This is with every team, every coach, every GM. So much of this is so well thought out and methodically considered from every angle, guys. So the fact that they went down this route, I'm sure they were thinking about this for a long time, not just in the off season, but during the return to play. Even during last season, all these circumstances collided. These young guys' opportunity, and maybe it's not going to work out for Zboril or Lozon or Clifton, for that matter. And Kevin Miller was a huge question mark, but it's all worked out so far. And yes, they were correct, at least so far. Now it could go off the rails.
Well, that's unlikely.
So far, eight games, and it's especially this year. You can talk all you want. It's eight games, but this year it's a pretty representative sample size.
Sure.
That's what I was about to say. Is do you think that you've seen enough of a sample size so far to feel, I don't want to say confident, but to feel a little better about this team as it goes up against teams like the Lightning? When you look to the playoffs and these faster teams and the way that they got bounced, like, do you feel more confident that they might have been able to fix some of the things that made it tough for them to win last year?
Yeah, I haven't seen any kind of slippages in terms of five-on-five play, defensively at least, that make you say, this team might have an issue or this might lag in one area and the defense is going to slip off. They've been absolutely in sync for the most part through eight games. They're skating well. They're thinking well. Their forwards have been really on the same page in terms of having that third guy high and helping out the defense so that they can close off the entries at the blue line. It's all really been well synchronized, and even after a limited camp, they've been really, really good so far. So
Fluto, I wanted to get your opinion on the power play, which looked a little bit different on Saturday night. Five forwards on the ice at once. We have not seen that from the Bruins in a long time. And I guess with all those skill players out there, that's great. But, you know, there is always the danger of having to play defense shorthanded when the shorthanded team makes a rush.
Of course. Yeah, that's always going to be the issue if you put David Krejci up there at the point. But we saw a few years ago how many pucks came back at Tory Krug and David Pastrnak on the shorthanded rushes. I think that's just a risk that Bruce Cassidy is going to be willing to accept, that the power play, especially with the five guys, Krejci, Pastrnak, Bergeron, Marchand, and Richie right now as your net front, if you throw out those five guys, chances are the way that they play, the way that they're in sync based on their skill, there's a pretty good chance that your power play is going to succeed. And, of course, David Krejci, not the fastest guy. He's usually back at the point, or it's Pastrnak, and he doesn't skate backwards very well. You are always going to have that threat of having pucks come back at you. That's where your goalie has to be good and turn back those shorthand rushes. They're going to come. But, yeah, Bruce has been thinking about five forwards for a while. And we saw it. And now it might just be situational, too, that if they're ahead, say, or if they're tied, they might use Charlie up there or Grizzlick when he gets back in just because of the defensive safety net. But if they're behind like they were the other night against Washington by three goals, yes, you will see David up there, Krejci up there as your fifth forward, and I would predict success for that group.
So you like this team better in the playoffs, given what we've seen so far, than maybe last year? I write off the whole bubble thing. But do you like them a little bit more for the playoffs this year than maybe you did last year, despite their great record in the regular season?
Well, I think there are certainly areas to reinforce. I'm still not sold on Lauzon as your top-pairing defenseman next to Charlie. Your fourth line still, I'm not sure. Injuries, of course. Kasha, we haven't seen since he takes that hit. And then Tuukka's got to get back to Vezina level. He hasn't been, he's been up and down so far. And he tweaked something the other day against Pittsburgh, but he's got to be better. So on the whole, it's been looking good. I think nobody's losing sleep about the defensive side, and coaches know that's going to be critical come the playoffs, that you have to be able to defend. And of course, given the way that they started, the 5-on-5 offense is going to be always there in terms of a question. But your first line is back. David Pastrnak looked great against Washington. They should have scored several goals that first line. So right now, I think they're pretty pleased with how things are trending. Now, playoffs long ways away. Who knows who will be injured by then? Who knows if they're going to be able to get some help by then? But so far, I think they're quite pleased with how they've started.
Yeah, and I like that third line, Fluto. I can't lie. I do like that third
Trent
line.
Frederick. Real fine.
Yeah.
I like
who could
Frederick.
Possibly be up for the expansion draft, which Fluto has an article about, like, who do you choose? And I know it's a long time in the future, but, you know, those are real questions with some of these younger guys.
Good questions to have. It means that guys are performing and that
yep.
You have to worry about guys that you didn't think you would have to worry about. Fluto Shinzawa, read all about him in The Athletic. And thank you so much for the time, sir.
Pleasure, guys. Have a good day.
All right. Short of them losing the first round, I want every hockey guy, not radio guy, every hockey guy that cried about Chara leaving to have to write a nice article how they were completely wrong.
I will completely admit it. I thought
well,
it
you're
would,
not also would, you're not a
know,
hockey guy.
I'm not a hockey guy, but I just want to say for the record, I thought the defense is going to suffer without Chara being there, and it hasn't.
I'm talking about someone whose main job is to cover the NHL. I want
admit
names
you're
and
shocked.
Numbers.
Admit you're shocked.
No,
at how well,
I'm not
how
shocked
well
at all.
Right.
No, I'm on record.
Two of your top line guys gone, like with Krug and Chara gone. I just thought there'd be a drop off.
Chara was a hindrance to this team last year, and it's funny that everyone forgets it because if you go back in anyone's Twitter timeline that tweets during these games, if you look at them, I would imagine during the playoffs, I had no access to electronics. But during the playoffs, that people were like, Chara sucks, he's so slow. And then this is why I called in to Jim when he was on the afternoon show, when I was waiting for my son outside of basketball, is people go, oh, Chara's gone. You're the same people bitching about him, rightly so, during the playoffs. It's like you'll bitch about anything they do. Chara was an albatross defensively. Now, if in a lot of the fans that were all over him then didn't like it when he was gone. He's slow. He doesn't fit into the modern NHL.
If you watch the Bruins game against Washington, yes, they put him out there against the top line for the Bruins, but ultimately, watching him and what he did, was he a huge factor in the Capitals game against the Bruins on Saturday?
You talk to Zdeno Chara and said, are you a huge factor on this team? He's going to say, I play a lot of minutes and I'm going to do my best, but he's not going to tell you he's a huge difference maker.
Yeah, for me, it was more of a Torrey Krug being gone thing.
Torrey Krug, to me, wasn't going to hurt them defensively. He was going to hurt them on the power play, and I think that they have plenty of guys that they can trot out there.
I mean, you just saw the five forwards. Yeah. I mean, Cassidy's thinking differently this year.
So,
yeah, and they look good, man.
In a perfect world, they would have kept Torrey Krug. They weren't able to. There was no way they were going to be able to.
It's way too expensive.
Yeah, and so, you lose guys. You've had a long run here. They don't get enough credit. It's the one team the only team in town I defend because they don't get it. The Celtics get all the credit in the world. The Patriots, I mean, people were talking about that Patriots team. It's like winning the AFC East when it was obvious they weren't.
You can't compare the two because here's what happened. The Celtics were a team that everyone knew that they've been overachieving for the last several years. This is a little bit of a different year. Last year, you had a team that won the President's Trophy, and they got knocked out in the first round. That's why they don't get the credit the Celtics got.
But they never have it from their own fans. Not from their own fans. Their own fans are still bitter at the Jacobs for not spending money 20 years ago.
Well, I don't get that because that's just
wrong. That's why they bitched about Chara not being here. It was the whole thing. Well, they don't want to pay him. The guy's making $800,000.
No, that had nothing to do with it.
Well, they said it. They called in the radio and said it, and I knew they would.
If you had looked at it for 15 seconds and you understood how much he signed for, that was not the case.
He should have retired is what he should have done, but
he likes playing, and he's been effective. He hasn't been great, but he's been effective for the little bit that I've seen.
There's something to be said.
I'm not really following Chara right now. But
well, how dare you? There's something to be said with just retiring with the uniform on and having at it. All right, we're running way late. We got to be right back.
Hey, it's Maz. Are you tired of small inconveniences that always turn into big headaches at home? Well, my friends at Rodenizer Home Services can make small fixes like repairing leaky faucets, adding or replacing electrical outlets and lights, or clearing slow drains that will provide big comfort for your home. And with over 10,000 five-star reviews, Rodenizer's expert technicians are just a call away and ready to fix those inconveniences at your home. Experience the difference with Rodenizer Home Services. Visit Rodenizer.com to schedule today. That's Rodenizer Home Services. Nice people. Great service since 1928.
It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every game. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. That's $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. What are you waiting for? Visit FanDuel.com/Fred and make your first bet an automatic win. FanDuel, America's number one sports book.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
Get you going every day.
I don't care for the sportsman-like talk.
Toucher and Rich.
At least let me live in a fantasy world that for 3 hours you hate each other.
On 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Now, Tom, this is your 10th Super Bowl appearance.
That's right.
You're 43 years old, but you look 27.
I haven't eaten sugar in 15 years.
Uh-huh. You went to historically one of the worst franchises in football, and in your first year you took them all the way to the championship.
That's right, but it's really a team effort, you know?
No. Don't even try it. No one believes there is anyone else on the team. My point is, you still work.
Yeah.
You're supposed to win football games, and you just keep winning football games.
Yeah.
You might be the only thing in America that still works.
Yeah.
So I guess everyone must be rooting for you, right?
Almost no one.
Well, you know what? I'll be rooting for you, Tom Brady, because you're the only goddamn thing this country can still rely on. And it's not like you're a weird Trump guy or anything, right?
Thanks for having me.
Another home run from Sarah.
Three-point
very funny. Saturday Night Live. I am a big fan of Saturday Night Live, and Saturday Night Live is officially, and I'm not even someone who, I usually defend it, bad. Not
Weekend
one,
Update is as funny as it's been since Norm MacDonald. Weekend Update is the one segment that you can rely on. Like that, those two guys are really funny.
Yeah, Weekend Update has always been secondary to me. It's about the sketches, and the sketches are putrid.
There was one good sketch this weekend, and it was the one where the guy was doing the televised, you know, they do the Zoom calls on the news channels, and he moved his head, and in the background was this horribly disturbing painting of a guy ripping his flesh off of his face. And the more you noticed things that were in his room, the more you saw that his room was completely effed up. There were these, like, mangled baby dolls, and then his creepy twins show up. That was one inspired skit. But, yeah, the rest of it was just kind of okay.
I saw, because the AV Club, if you're looking to watch Saturday Night Live without watching it, you can go to avclub.com. They always have a rundown with all the sketches, and I saw the really funny lesbian couple from 1991 sketch that they did.
I think that was like the last skit of the night.
No, the last skit of the night was the Ratatouille sketch where John Krasinski had the 10-gallon hat on.
And yeah, that was near the end too.
I guess that played with, because they made a big deal about how late in the show it was. So.
Did you see Fran Lebowitz with Martin Scorsese?
No, I didn't know.
That was on Weekend Update as well. That was actually really good. Because, like, I guess there's this thing on Netflix where he just sits down and talks to Fran Lebowitz. And Fran Lebowitz is not funny. But, like, Martin Scorsese loses his mind throughout the entire thing. So they just had a guy as Martin Scorsese freaking out over every dumb joke that she would say.
You're assuming a lot out of me as an audience if you are assuming that they saw the Fran Lebowitz, Martin Scorsese documentary.
Yeah, it was on Weekend Update. As I said, Weekend Update's been great.
Weekend Update, I did see two things. I saw the My Pillow guy, which wasn't
which
funny.
Which was awesome. That was great.
You and I have different senses of humor. And then
you didn't like the impression of the My Pillow guy?
I thought it was a good impression. I didn't think he said anything funny. I mean, it was just that he was a crackhead that I already knew. And then the Cicely, whatever her name is, did an unfunny skit where she said obvious things about how she didn't like races. And she played like a hick that didn't like racists. I was not a fan. There's not one star on that show. Not one. And you know who's a good actor is Pete Davidson. I saw this half of a movie that was on Hulu.
King of Staten Island?
I saw that. He was all right. But I saw it's called Big Time Adolescence or something. And he plays like an older dude that just like smokes a lot of pot. And he's not a bad actor, Pete Davidson. Now, not a good sketch actor. But they need a star desperately, a beaking, shining star.
Because there's a female actress who does a impression of 80s Coke woman. Have you seen that one? Or 80s Coke wife. That's what it is.
Yes.
And, which is, she's fantastic. Like, she's probably the best one on the show right now.
Well, you don't know her name. She ain't no star.
I don't know her name.
Yeah, that's a sad state of affairs if that's the funniest person on the show. They need a star. It's been a long time. When was the last time Saturday Night Live had a star?
I mean, I guess Bill Hader is probably the last star.
That Hader, and I mean, funny that Mulaney was just a writer and he became a star.
Yeah, and I guess, I mean, if you want to keep Kristen Wiig.
Yeah, was a star. So, yeah, it's been a while. It's been a generation since they've had one. They need to find one. It ain't that nerdy-looking kid. He's the only new guy I can pick out. The guy with the gap between his teeth. He always plays like a nerd.
Not Kyle Mooney.
No. Kyle Mooney. I'll respect Kyle Mooney because I think they just go, Kyle Mooney, here, you get 10 minutes and you can do whatever you want. And so I'll give Kyle Mooney that. Mm-hmm. I don't think he's funny, but I respect that they go, all right, here's 10 minutes. You make videos. The other guys, oof. It's funny. John and I were talking about it before the show today. Do a Robert Goulet. Get me Ferrell doing a Robert Goulet. And we'll be good. Fred Armisen was a star, too. I mean, Fred Armisen was great on that show.
Fred Armisen had a couple of good characters.
He was fantastic. If you know who was great, great on that show? He did too much with Fallon, but was the fat guy. Horatio Sands was fantastic on that show. I went back, because, you know, everyone's bored. I went back and looked at a bunch of Horatio Sands stuff. And he broke up Fallon too much. Fallon ruined him too much. But Horatio Sands was great on that show. Horatio Sands, when he does like podcasts and stuff is fantastic. Like a sick, sick, sick mind. Very demented mind, but very funny. Obviously, he wasn't able to do that on Saturday Live, but what are you going to do? All right, so we'll be back in just a moment.
Hey, it's Mass. Since 1928, Rodenizer Home Services has been your trusted local experts for all your plumbing needs. From bathroom and kitchen fixtures to leaking pipes and water heaters, Rodenizer offers you the higher standards of professionalism. When you have questions, Rodenizer has answers, all backed by their 100% customer satisfaction guarantee. Their motto is simple: nice people, great service. So experience the difference today with Rodenizer Home Services. Visit Rodenizer.com to schedule today.
It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every game. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. That's $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. What are you waiting for? Visit FanDuel.com/Fred and make your first bet an automatic win. FanDuel, America's number one sports book.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued is non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline MA.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code WBZMASS and receive up to $1,000 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions.
21 years of age or older to wager. Massachusetts only. New customer offer. All promotions are subject to qualification and eligibility requirements. Rewards issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets. Bonus bets expire 7 days from issuance. Play it smart from the start with GameSense. GameSenseMA.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-327-5050 or visit GamblingHelplineMA.org in partnership with MGM Springfield. Field.